to Luke 12 and starting at verse 13, and it's on page 845. Before we read the Bible, let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. As we read Luke today, help us, Lord, to understand what you are saying to each of us through Luke. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 12, verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God."
Jesus, they gave him gold, frankincense and myrrh. Gift-giving also was a reminder of the ultimate gift that Jesus was that first Christmas day. But from these humble beginnings, gift-giving seems to have morphed into becoming a massive thing. Gift-giving seems to be drowning out that message of Jesus, and gift-giving has become a central part of Christmas. And I think this can be confidently put down to the impact that commercialism has had on Christmas. And if you don't know, commercialism can be defined as having an excessive emphasis on profit, or being too strongly influenced by the desire to earn money or have things, rather than the desire for other values. And so I think, and I think you'd agree with me, that the force of money and profit has got a tight grip on Christmas, hasn't it? It's clear that commercialism affects Christmas. It affects the gifts we're supposed to buy. It affects the food we're meant to eat. It affects the decorations we should have up. It affects the way we're told to celebrate Christmas. And commercialism is with us at Christmas time in one way, whether we like it or not. We don't really have a choice about that. In one sense, it is encouraging that we actually have Christmas Day. Christmas Day is celebrated in our culture. That's an encouraging thing. It's also encouraging sometimes in the shopping centre to hear a Jesus-centred Christmas carol being played. But we also need to understand that commercialism has morphed Christmas. We need to think about whether we've been swept up in commercialism. Our society has a way of expressing Christmas. Are we just going along with that ride? Or are we going to run counterculture to that? Do we conform with our culture? Or can we improve on the way our culture expresses Christmas? And so I think a key thing for us to think about this Christmas season is, by the end of the Christmas season, will you have been spiritually nourished by the season? Will you have remembered the profoundness of what happened that first Christmas morning? Will you cope with and conquer commercialism, or will you be taking it along in its sled? To help us wrestle with this, we're going to think about three different ways in which commercialism can affect us this Christmas. It affects our identity, how it affects our relationship with others, and how it affects our most important relationship with God. With each of these points, we're going to think about the negative stuff that commercialism brings, but we're also going to think about how we can sort of counteract that as Christians. So let's first launch into that first point. How does commercialism affect our identity? Now, as I said at the start, commercialism is always about placing a big importance on possessions and profit. We've had Christmas catalogues streaming into our letterboxes since about mid-November, and all of them show us the things that we can have in order to become happy, all the things we can buy in order to have the ultimate Christmas. But the effect of all that is that it can make you forget that you're actually already rich. It can make you forget that buying a heap of more stuff, that's not going to make you more happier. We can fall for the lie that unless we have the latest gadget or the latest toy, then we must be poor. But the reality is in Australia is that we're actually extremely rich. If you actually ranked everyone in the world by how rich they are, if the whole world was a massive list from the richest to the poorest, then if you've got food, if you've got clothes and you've got shelter, which I reckon most of us here have, then you're in the top 25% of the world's richest. If your only income is the pension in Australia, if that's your only income for your whole family, then you're in the top 9%. If your family's after-tax income is above 39 grand, you're in the top 2% globally. And if your family's after-tax income is above 50 grand, you're in the top 1%. We are extremely rich here in Australia, but yet we don't feel rich. And the reason we don't feel rich is because consumerism keeps telling us we need more and more and more. Consumerism gets people to be unhappy with what they already have. Advertising inflates our desires. We say that we need something when really we just want something. Now, Charles Kettering, he was a businessman in the early 1900s, and he said this: the key to economic prosperity is the organised creation of dissatisfaction. If everyone was satisfied, no one would want to buy the new thing. So commercialism, it gets us to forget that we are physically rich, but it also can make us forget that we are spiritually rich. If we're in relationship with God, then this is of far greater importance than anything we can buy. Our purchases, the brands we wear, our cars, our houses, they don't shape our identity. We're not poor, but we are rich if we have relationship with God. Now, a clear example of a person who is just gripped by commercialism came in what we read earlier about the rich fool in Luke chapter 12. Let's read it again from verse 15. It'll be up on the PowerPoint as well. Luke 12, verse 15. Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And then I'll store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you've plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink and be merry. But God said, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you prepared for yourself? This is how it'll be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich to God. So commercialism can get us to worry so much about our possessions and our money that we forget to invest in our most important relationship with God. Commercialism makes us focus on the here and now and focus on ourselves instead of focusing on eternity and focusing on others. We're going to think a little bit more about our relationship with God in our last point. But for now, let me give you two quick countermeasures that'll help fight our tendency for us to think that we're not rich. Our tendency to think more about spending on ourselves rather than thinking about others. So first tip is be generous. Be as generous to the poor as you are lavish on yourself. Maybe roughly add up this year how much you're going to spend on your Christmas gifts, your Christmas food, your Christmas holidays, and then give exactly the same amount to the poor. We've got out in the foyer the tier catalogue. You can buy gifts there to the poor. We'll give in our pigeonholes last week the compassionate catalogue. And these are two great ways in which you can share with the poor this Christmas. Perhaps what you could do is you might have bought your kids or grandkids a present and maybe you could give something from the tier catalogue to go along with that. So you might have bought your kids a bunny rabbit for the backyard this Christmas. Maybe along with that, you can get a goat for a village. Kids, don't get excited, you're not getting a bunny rabbit. Maybe you bought yourself a camping tent, for Christmas. Or maybe alongside that, you can buy a toilet for a whole village. Give a gift to your kids and then give something alongside that of equal value. So don't fall for the lie that commercialism tries to tell you that you are poor. Don't fall for that lie. Don't fall for the lie that commercialism tells you that it's here and now. It's all about you. Think about eternity. Think about storing up treasures later. And the second tip then is to give to gospel work. Store up treasure in heaven by giving to the work of the gospel, whether it be overseas or here. Give to the work of this church. Give to the work of the missionaries that we support. The first problem with commercialism at Christmas is that it affects our ideas around wealth and identity. How are we going to go counter to that this Christmas? Secondly, though, commercialism also affects how we relate to others. One of the big problems that comes from commercialism is that it puts a dollar value on your relationships. Commercialism says if you really, really value someone, then you're going to spend up big on them. So if I give Bob a $20 present, and then I give Sam a $40 present, then I must love Sam a lot more than I love Bob. Commercialism says you got to spend big in order to show love to someone. And because of that, there's big pressure to us. There's big pressure that if you're not showering your kids or your grandkids with hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of presents, then you mustn't love them. The guy next door is doing that. Why aren't you doing that? That's the pressure we have. There's also pressure to buy gifts for a wide range of people. You have to spend money on all sorts of people to show that you value them. Now, we do value them. We do care for them, but we feel pressured to buy for them. We also feel the pressure to buy and make it fair and even for all the kids and grandkids. Everyone has to get the exact same amount as each other. And all this pressure to give, all this pressure of putting a dollar value on relationships, actually means that we can end up a lot relationally poorer. Gift-giving can actually ruin relationships. Gift-giving can actually expose that our relationships are shallow. I think a classic example of this is when two people give each other gifts. They sort of exchange gifts, but they're actually not that relationally tight. They're not that close to each other. Because they're not close to each other, they don't know what to get. They don't know each other well enough. And so what they end up doing is just exchanging gift cards. So I give my mate a $30 gift card to the fishing shop, and then he gives me a $30 gift card as a movie voucher. It's the not-so-great exchange. It shows that we don't have a strong relationship. We don't care for each other. It's just awkward. Why are we doing that? It reminds me of a Seinfeld episode. If you know Seinfeld, the main character, Jerry, he has to buy his friend Elaine a gift. And he doesn't know what to get her, and so he ends up buying her cash. He gets $182, he puts it in a box, wraps it in tissue paper, and gives it to her. Now, when she opens it, she opens it up and goes, "Cash? What are you, my uncle or something?" It's just awkward. Another problem that can come from gift-giving is when you try and overcompensate by giving massive gifts. For example, the distant dad. The dad who's a slave to his work or a slave to his hobbies, he's barely around his kids all year, but he tries to overcompensate by giving the massive gift at Christmas time. Now, the kid ends up getting an Xbox, that's sweet, but he doesn't have a strong relationship with his dad. A big lump sum at the end of the year is no match for regular deposits of love and time. So Christmas commercialism can fool us into thinking that bigger is better, that lots of presents means lots of love. Retailers want this. Retailers want us to spend up big and spend up quickly and not actually think about the actual relationships. But we see an opposite to this in the Bible. An opposite to this is the widow's story in Mark 12. In this we see a clear example of where relationships aren't marked by the size of the gift or lots of gifts. It's going to be up there again, Mark 12. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all others. They gave out of her wealth, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything, all she had to live on. In the Bible, relationships and giving aren't about volume, they're not about size, they're about love, they're about sacrifice. The widow didn't have to give a massive gift to show her devotion. She just gave what she could. The gift that's given in love is far greater significance than showering lots and lots of gifts on someone. It's of far greater significance than the quick and the big spend. And I think what this gets us to is the key point that we need to understand about gift giving. And the key thing is that gifts aren't an end in themselves. The point of giving someone a gift is that you want to build your relationship with them. Commercialism gets us thinking that gifts are only significant if they're big or if there's lots of them, whereas we can use gifts to build relationships regardless of how much the gift is worth. We can give someone a gift to build that relationship with them. Therefore, the gift might not be worth much in terms of dollars, but it can have a massive effect on the relationship. For example, you might give the gift to your child of taking them on an outing that you and them, just you and them, do together, rather than a gift that they use individually. So you could give in to commercialism. You could give in and just buy heaps and heaps of gifts and just not think about it, just buy lots of stuff. You could do the opposite. You could be a Scrooge and not give any gifts at all. You could avoid all gift giving. And sometimes it feels like, hey, they're the only two options. But I think there's a middle ground. I think you can buy gifts, but you buy gifts that build relationships. You buy gifts that show people that you care about them and you want to spend time with them. And so to help with this, I've got four really quick tips to help counter the effect that commercialism has. Commercialism says buy up big, buy lots and spend more money. That's how you show someone you love them. Whereas my tips are be thoughtful about your gifts. Actually take time to think about a gift that has a greater meaning, a gift that'll build your relationship. Secondly, reduce the number of gifts. Don't just have heaps of thoughtless expenses. Buy one gift and make it a good one. Thirdly, think about gifts that encourage time together. Maybe it can be a board game or a day out together. Tickets to an event, fishing rods so you can go fishing together. Give the gift maybe of having someone up for dinner. Rather than buying the gift, say, hey, for Christmas this year, come up. It's all on us. We'll have you up for dinner. We just want to hang out with you. We value your relationship. Fourthly, write cards. When you give a gift, don't just scribble their name on the Christmas paper. To Eva, love from Mum and Dad. Actually write a card. Write some heartfelt lines about what their relationship means to you. See, commercialism will affect our self-identity. Commercialism will affect the relationship we have with others. But most importantly, and this is the last thing I want to think about, commercialism can affect our most important relationship. And the reason for that is because at Christmas time, we can completely and utterly forget about that first Christmas gift, the birth of Jesus Christ. It's Christmas, Christmas. The message of Jesus can easily be weakened by Santa, by pageants, by eating, by family catch-up after family catch-up. It can form this massive sort of misty haze, and we just completely forget about Jesus. There's a massive risk that you don't even think about Jesus this Christmas. There's a massive risk that you don't even know about the Christmas story to begin with. This well-known verse, John 3:16, sums up so perfectly that amazing gift that was given at Christmas. For God so loved the world that he gave, that was a gift, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Earlier I mentioned that giving gifts is not a means to an end. There's a purpose to giving gifts. We give gifts to build relationship. And if you think about it, isn't that exactly what God was doing when he gave that first Christmas gift? Didn't God have an ultimate purpose in mind? Didn't God want to have an ultimate reason for giving that gift? When we give gifts to someone, we want to build relationship. We want to show someone we care them. We want to improve a relationship. Well, this gift from God, this gift of God, of Jesus, doesn't just improve or enhance a relationship. It actually fixes a relationship. It mends a broken relationship. It takes a relationship that was on the rocks and fixes it for good. God is the ultimate example of giving a gift that has a reason and a purpose. As John 3:16 reminds us, His gift of Jesus means that people go from perishing and punishment to being pardoned and having eternal life and forgiveness. Jesus, God's Son, coming from the glory of heaven down to the animal trough, that was just the beginning of a massive rescue mission. When Jesus was born, there was a massive star above him. There was a whole host of angels praising God. Now, I don't think that happened at my birth, and I don't reckon it happened at yours either, because this birth of Jesus was the beginning of God's massive rescue mission. That's why there was such a hoo-ha when it happened. It happened at Jesus' birth because he came to die for our sins. He came to take us from being God's enemies to being God's children. What a wonderful gift. Jesus came to earth to bring about the most radical rescue mission the world has ever seen. And because of that gift, that first Christmas morning, we can now pray our Father in heaven. We don't pray Jesus' Father in heaven. We pray our Father in heaven. Our identity has been shaped now by this restored relationship. We've gone from being enemies to being restored again with God. Our identity is not shaped by how much we have, by how many gifts we give or how many gifts we receive. Our identity is not shaped by how much family we can get around us at Christmas. Our identity is not shaped whether our family get along or not. Instead, our identity can be shaped by this Christmas gift, this gift of a restored relationship with Jesus. That gift, that first Christmas day. This relationship gives us a much deeper, a much rock-solid identity than what anything that commercialism can offer. We have a Father that knows for us and provides for exactly what we need. He gave us that gift that we desperately needed. Not the gift we wanted, but the gift that we needed. And if we let it, commercialism will completely drown out this stuff at Christmas time. Commercialism would absolutely love us to have a spiritually shallow Christmas, a Christmas where we rarely connect with God, a Christmas where we don't stop and ponder this wonderful birth of Jesus, where we don't stop and think about the greatest gift history has ever seen. Commercialism would love us to just have our eyes completely focused on the bottom of that Christmas tree and all the different boxes there. Commercialism would love us to have ourselves focused on the bottom of our plate and how much food and drink we're eating at Christmas. But instead, how about we have our eyes, our mouths, our hearts, our whole being focused on that glorious gift from God this Christmas? So then, what are some tips to help us do that under this final point? How do we connect with God this Christmas? Well, first, I think just actually have a plan of how you're going to do it. Think of how you can connect with God in all the different spheres of your life. How can you do it individually? How can you do it as a household? How can you do it as a church community? On a personal level, actually take some time this Christmas to read the Bible and pray. Read through one of the gospel accounts of Jesus' birth. Pray about it. Meditate about it. Think and thank God about it. If you're not a Christian, take the time this Christmas to actually investigate Jesus. We've got a fantastic book on the welcome desk called A Fresh Start by John Chapman. And that book would be a great thing to read over Christmas and connect with God and think about why Jesus came to earth. As a household, how can you connect with God this Christmas? Well, why don't you plan together as a household of what you can do? You could be all sorts of stuff. You could do Advent readings together. You could sing carols. You can make a birthday cake for Jesus and celebrate it that way. You can make a nativity scene together. And most importantly, you can retell the story of Christmas together. Get around and retell the story. I was thinking you could get creative with this. You could go to a barn somewhere, if you know someone with a barn, sit around in the hay, get your torches out, not candles because there's that much hay, but you could sit around in the barn and tell the Christmas story together. Another idea that I heard was you could listen to Handel's Messiah together. That has the Christmas story all through it. And you can actually look up the passages that go along with that. And you could read that together and listen to the music together if that's more your thing. So do stuff on a personal level. Do stuff as a household. And then finally, do stuff as a church community. Keep investing in coming to church. Keep praising God together like we're doing this morning. Keep reminding each other of this wonderful Christmas event, this gift that we were given at Christmas time. So let me conclude then. Let me conclude by asking you, will you slay the commercial sled this Christmas time? You see what I did there? Slay and sled. That's good, I know. or maybe not. Commercialism says you're not rich. Invest in the here and now. Why don't you counterpunch that this Christmas and invest in eternal things and be generous? Commercialism wants you forget. Wants you to forget that gift giving is all about building relationships. Why don't you counterpunch that this Christmas by giving gifts that actually build relationships and show people that you care? Commercialism wants you to forget the ultimate gift of Jesus Christ this Christmas. Well, why don't you give that a massive counterpunch and actually stop and pause and remember Jesus this Christmas? Connect to God and remember his wonderful gift. Now, I encourage you to take some time today as an individual or as a family, as a household, and actually sit down and plan, how are we going to connect with God this Christmas? What are we going to do that's different? How about I pray now that God will help us do that? Let's pray.